Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Okay, so tonight, my message is called Perfect Peace. Perfect Peace. I was going to call it something else, but somebody came up with that, and it was so much better than what I had. So I'm going to start off in John chapter 14, verse 27, in the New King James Version. Here's what it says. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." I love that little statement right there. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then I want to read out of the Passion Translation. If you haven't read the Passion Translation, and if you read something that sticks out to you, I promise, go to the Passion Translation. I love reading it out of there. It says, "I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous." So tonight I want to talk about peace. And I think we get lost because I think too often peace becomes a feeling. It becomes just like, man, sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't. So what I'm going to encourage you guys just is I'm going to kind of break down a little bit of peace in the Word and kind of how God explains it. But it's not subject to a circumstance in your life. That's not where peace comes from. It's not because everything's going well and your job and you just got a raise and your kids are doing everything. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about in the middle of a storm, you have peace. In the middle of your biggest tragedy, you have peace. In the middle of the most difficult time in your life, you have a peace. And it's unexplainable because it only comes from God. It's unexplainable because it's something you can't conjure up. Because everything around you would say, this is not a moment you have peace. This is not a moment where you should be settled and be okay with where you're at. But you can have that peace because of God, because of his son, Jesus. Okay, so we're going to read Ephesians. And just so you know, we're going to read a lot. So you may just want to write them down. You can look them up if you want. But I love the Bible, and I love throwing out as many verses as I can at you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, and I'm going to read to verse 18. In the New King James Version, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." Enmity is a feeling or condition of hostility, hatred, ill will, or animosity. So he's breaking that down. He said, "I'm putting to death the enmity." He says, "And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father." So here's what I want you to understand. He's our peace. He is our peace. And when Christ Jesus makes peace, that peace will be satisfying, permanent, a genuine peace, and it will be a real peace that will last and last. When I found out I was speaking, and I never do this, like, right, I feel like the moment I find out I'm speaking, I know exactly what I want to talk about, or at least have an idea of what I want to talk about. My kids and I don't want to say it's a Bible plan because I made it up, but we're reading through the Bible a certain way that I made up, and we're reading in Matthew and Genesis right now, and I love it, but I feel like it's all been for me. I didn't feel like there was a message, anything I've been reading, so I asked my wife, I said, "What should I speak about?" She's like, "What?" I just said, "What do you think I should speak about?" And she's like, "You've never asked me that." And I was like, "I know, but I'm asking now." And I said, "Pray about it and get back to me," right? Because I don't want her just to, like, pop off, right? My wife does not pop off, just so you guys know. She's back in the preschool area. She does not do that. So I said, she just said, "I think you should talk about peace." And, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, I know a lot of people going through a lot of stuff, and I know there's so much going on right now, and I just thought, we need to understand and know peace. If we don't have it, we can't share it with somebody. If it's not in us, we can't help somebody else get it because we don't know what it is. So tonight I want to help you guys figure that out. I want to get us to a place where we get it, we know it, we understand it, and more than that, we're able to spread it and share it. Man, I'm telling you, this world needs peace. And a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that it's not going to make sense to people around you, but we're going to have it because it's him. I'm going to keep going. In order to live at peace, you must have peace. The problem with most of us is that we want to start by clearing up only the results of a conflict. God never starts there. He starts with a person. He says peace is a person. And in order for you to live at peace with someone else, you must be at peace with the person of Jesus Christ. So the place to start, the origin of peace, is a settling of anything between you and Jesus. That is always the place to start. But this is the promise of God to Christians, that he is our peace. So I think we're looking to something else. It's Jesus. He's our peace. Man, he's where we find our peace. Man, God loved us so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die for us. Do you know there's a lot of benefits that came with that sacrifice that God made on our behalf? And man, a huge one is peace. Man, it's peace. I think so many people, we live in a place where we don't even remember what peace feels like. We've been so stressed. We've had so much anxiety. We've been in so much fear. We have forgotten that God loved us so much that he gave his son so that we can live in peace. Not in perfect situation, not in perfect circumstances, not in everything's just rosy and great, so I have, no. He gave his life so that in the middle of whatever storm tries to hit you, because the Bible says when we're built on him, our house isn't going to fall. The storm's going to hit us, and we're going to have peace in the middle of that storm, knowing that our house cannot and will not fall. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We hear this at Christmas time a lot. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It's part of his name. It's part of who he is. Man, it's a name that he goes by. He goes by Prince of Peace. It's one of his many amazing names. It's part of who he is. Man, he doesn't want his children living without it. He doesn't want us having to be in fear or to be anxious or to be what. He wants us to be in peace. That's the heart of God. Man, if I want that for my kids and I want it so bad for my kids, how much more does he want it for us? Right? Because it talks about our love for our kids is like filthy rags compared to his love for us. So, man, and that doesn't mean I want my kids to go through stuff. I know my kids are going to go through stuff, but in the midst of it, I want them to know who God is and who Jesus is so they'll have a peace. They'll have a peace in the middle of whatever it is they're going with. When they're trying to make the team, when they're trying to pass the test, when they're trying to get into that college, when they're trying to get that first job, I want them to have a peace. Because that circumstance should not affect their peace. Get the job, make the team, don't get the job, don't make the team, should not affect their peace. We've become a people that our peace is affected by what's going on in our life, what's going on around us, what's going on in the world. We've allowed that to affect our peace, not as children of God. Man, it shouldn't be so as children of God. Number one, point one, peace begins with grace. Peace begins with grace. If you read the New Testament looking to find Bible verses about peace, you'll find a specific greeting used 16 times. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible verse about peace from 1 Corinthians 1:3 is found in several other locations, yet there is more to grace and peace than a simple greeting. In all instances, grace is written first. God's grace always precedes peace because true peace begins only when we accept the unmerited favor of God. Understand grace and we know peace. Grace and peace. You'll read it. Now you're going to look at it in a lot of books of the Bible start with that in the New Testament. They start with grace and peace. So you're going to see that you kind of just go by it because it says it. So, there's 16 different times it opens up with grace and peace. And you're just kind of thinking, yeah, cool. Grace and peace. Those are good. Awesome. Grace is his unmerited favor. Grace is what he gives us even though we're sinners, right? Grace is it's so amazing. It's what allows us to enter in. And it's saying grace and peace. So grace is before peace. Man, you have to understand that price that was paid for you. You got to understand, what he did for you. You got to understand that grace. You got to be willing to live in that grace, and then you'll be able to have that peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace comes through Jesus. Man, I'm hoping you're getting this tonight. I think people in here, they've missed out on so much. They've allowed themselves to get so, whatever, just off a little bit, and they're missing out on peace. That perfect peace. Number two, peace is not linked to your circumstance. Peace is not linked to your circumstance. Peace comes from knowing Jesus. That's where peace comes from. It doesn't come from all this other good stuff that you're hoping happens in your life. Peace comes from Jesus himself. Colossians 1:19-20 says this, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's how he made peace. That's how he brought everything together. Man, that's how we gain peace, is knowing him. It's not by our circumstance. It's not by our situation. And please, so I think sometimes we're just hoping everything lines up so we can have peace. You should have peace before anything's lined up at all. That's where the peace comes from, right? The storm's going to hit us all. The Bible says it rains on the just and unjust alike. It's not going to stop raining because you're living a certain way and they're living a certain way. Doesn't mean stuff's not going to hit you. Stuff's going to hit you, but the difference is we have a peace. We have a peace when others don't. And can I just tell you that'll preach? Can I tell you that'll help you reach others? When they see you in the middle of your craziest storm at peace, they want to know what you have. They want to know why, how. I know what you're going through right now. You should not be at peace. How can you be at peace? And you have one answer, and it's one name, and it's the name above every name, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Man, it's Jesus. That's your answer. It's Jesus. That's it. It's not my circumstance. It's not my situation. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Right? That's difficult for people, I think. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Man, if you want to know how to get anxious, it says, be in prayer and be praying about stuff. It says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When I read that, this is what I always think. The peace that doesn't make sense is going to guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what I always think of this. It's a peace. The peace that he's talking about there doesn't make sense. It says, you know, he's telling you not to be anxious. He's telling you to pray about everything. He's telling you to give thanksgiving. And then he's saying, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that doesn't even make sense in your mind. You can't quite understand it. But when you're not anxious, and you begin to pray, and you begin to give thanks, you have a peace that surpasses your understanding, that surpasses your circumstance, that surpasses whatever you thought you needed to have peace, wherever you thought you needed to be in life to be at peace. It all gets trumped by this. Man, it all gets beat by this. It's so simple. It's Jesus. He's the peace you're looking for. He's the answer you're looking for. He's what you need and maybe did, and you've been looking somewhere else. It's in him. There's a book that Max Lucado wrote called Grace for the Moment, and he said this. It says, believing prayer ushers in God's peace. Believing prayer ushers in God's peace. Not a random, nebulous, earthly peace, but his peace imported from heaven. The same tranquility that makes the throne room God offers to you. The same tranquility that makes the throne room of God he offers to you. That same peace. All we got to do is believe. All we got to do is believe. Like I tried to imagine that, like that picture of being with God, being the throne, like that peace would be unreal. He offers that to you. That's why he sent his son. On earth as it is in, you know there's a perfect peace in heaven. You 100% know that. You know you get there and you're in that throne room and it's a peace like you can't explain. He wants you to have that kind of peace right here. He wants you to live in that same kind of peace right here. Man, you got to know that. You got to understand it. You got to want, you got to desire that peace, knowing it comes from Jesus. Peace is not determined by possessions or circumstances. Peace is not determined by where we live or how much we own. Peace is found in Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13 says this. It says, I know how to live almost on nothing or with everything. This is Paul talking. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Right? So he's just talking about, man, I can do it through Christ. It doesn't matter if I have everything or if I have nothing. I think too often we think we have to have this certain stuff. And I want to dispel that tonight. You're going to hear me say it probably 3 or 4 more times. You don't need the stuff. You don't need things to line up. You don't. It's him. It's him. It's only him. If you're missing it, you're just missing your relationship with him. That's it. You don't have to start doing all these things super right. You don't have to start, you know, taking all these steps. You just turn to him. The Bible literally says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He doesn't equate it. He doesn't say you got to start doing all these things right and then I'll draw near to you. He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. I always think that, man, it doesn't matter how far we walk away from God. We could be walking as far away as we think. And he literally says, draw near to me. So I turn to draw near to him, and he's right there ready to draw near to me. Right there. He's right there. Doesn't matter how far away I feel like I've walked. He's right there. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. Dr. David Jeremiah writes, all too often we lose our peace in the midst of tragedy and the circumstances of life. When we do that, we have nothing to offer a watching world. If a neighbor comes to us distraught over tragedy and finds us just as undone, What testimony have we given about the peace of Christ which he promised? It is the Christians in a community who should be able to offer a word of encouragement and comfort during difficult times. But we can only do that if we possess the peace of Christ, that peace which he purchased for us at the price of his own blood. Man, I read that, and I was like, that's it. That's it. If people see us at peace and we can offer that to others, that's a game changer. That's a game changer because we're all going through stuff. We're all going, everybody's got their stuff. My stuff may be different from your stuff. Your stuff is different from their stuff. We all got stuff. Man, something is hitting all of our lives. Man, something. If you're raising kids, every day something's hitting your life. If you got five, it could be from a different kid. Every day, something is hitting your life. Number three, pursue peace. Number three is pursue peace. The pursuit of peace is more important than the pursuit of possessions, money, or fame. The pursuit of peace. Romans 14:9 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Man, I want to see the Lord. Pursue peace. Pursue holiness. Go after those things. Man, I want that peace in my life, which just means we're chasing Jesus. Can I tell you that? When I'm saying pursue peace, you could change it for saying pursue Jesus. Right? Because he is peace. Right? Like it's one of his names. He's peace. That's what we're pursuing. We're pursuing Jesus. Philippians 4:9 says, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Right before that, it says, talks about what you're thinking on. And it says, think on things that are pure and true and noble and right. And it tells you what to think on. And then he say, man, just keep putting those things into practice. Preceding that was don't be anxious. Pray, give thanks, and the peace of God. Right, that's all in Philippians 4. And then he's saying, listen, the God of peace will be with you. Put these things into practice. Start living them. What are you thinking on? Because it matters. What are you thinking about? That's a big deal. Man, are you thinking about what's true, what's noble, what's pure, what's right? Or are you thinking about what's on the news? Or are you thinking about what just happened to you? Or are you thinking about how you feel like you were mistreated by whoever? Man, if you focus on that, it's going to be hard to pursue peace. You got to focus on him. You got to focus on him. Number four, peace is not ours to keep, but it's ours to share. Peace is not ours to keep, but it's ours to share. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Man, in my personal life, before I knew Jesus, there was always something about me that wanted to bring people together. I had friends, whether they were athletes or gang members or whatever. I grew up in a little town. I knew everybody. I lived there my entire life, first grade through 12th grade at the same school. And in high school, I was the opposite of a fighter. I think Pastor Bill was a fighter. I was the guy who broke up the fights. I'm telling you, I probably broke up 100 fights in high school. I'd stand between two guys and say, what are you doing? Most of the time, I found out they really didn't want to fight. Just so you know, when two guys get face-to-face, there's always one that's like, I really don't want to do this. What are we doing? And there's always one that you're like, this guy really wants to go. So for this guy's sake, I would step in. But I hated seeing people come at each other. And it was normally over the dumbest thing. I remember two of my good friends, one I played soccer with and one I wrestled with. I found out they were about to fight, and I'm like, what is going on? I go talk to him. No joke. He said he ran into me in the hallway. I said, did he see you? Is this really the issue? Like, he bumped you. He's like, no, he should have gone around. And I'm like, it's a crowded hallway. Like, maybe he didn't have room. Maybe you should have gone around. And I thought, but there were so many moments that it was something as simple as that, where somebody thought somebody else had done something on purpose. And I'm telling you, but there was always something in me that wanted to help bring people into a place of peace. Man, let's find what our common ground is. Let's find how we can bring you together. The peace of God must be evident in us. Others need to see what we have and desire to have it. We must be peacemakers, able to share the love of God with the troubled world. Able to share the love of God with the troubled world. Can I just tell you, when somebody's troubled, they're looking for peace. They're looking for that thing. And sometimes they turn to things of the world, right? They go, they drink, they get high, whatever. They're going to look for something that's going to give them even a temporary peace. They're just looking for some peace, some kind of peace, right? So they begin to turn to the things that are not God. They begin to turn to these things that are going to solve it for an hour, for 2 hours, for an evening. And they wake up in the same place They don't have any peace. They don't have it. Man, maybe you've been in, you've been doing the same stuff. You've been looking in all these different areas for peace. It's only found in Jesus. Everything else is fleeting. Everything else will go away. Man, when you find that peace in Jesus, it lasts. And I mean it lasts. I gave my life to Jesus at 18 and I'm 40 now. So I can tell you, I know for sure it lasts 22 years. I know that for sure. I know that. I mean, I've experienced it in my life. And it doesn't make sense, but there is a peace that doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter what's happened in and around my family. There's always been a peace, and there's only one thing that I can attribute it to, and that's Jesus. Because it wasn't there before, and it's been there ever since. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's what you want. You want people to see you at peace and to glorify God in heaven. You want people to see you at peace and think, it's got to be God. What else could it be? That's our life. That's our heart as Christians. Man, if you've given your life to Jesus, that's who you want to be. You want to be somebody that people can look at and say there's something in them. There's something in them. And they don't glorify you. They glorify God. I can't do it in and of myself. It's impossible. But with him, all things are possible. It's with Jesus. Isaiah 54:10. "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you." He has a covenant of peace with us. A covenant of peace with us. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Colossians 3, 12 through 15 says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Those all sound fun. Verse 13 says, "Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you." I'm going to read that again. "Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts." Let the peace that comes from Christ, let that rule in your hearts. "For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." We're called to live in peace. We're called to figure out a way to make peace. It's part of who we are. It's how God designed us, right? It's what he's put in us. This is the last verse I'm going to share with you guys. It's John 16, 33. It says this, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." I've heard Pastor Bill say this so often. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So there's a hope in that, right? There's a hope. He says, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me." Man, he's letting us know. He's letting us know so that we can have peace. And then he's saying, here on earth you have trials. You're going to go through stuff. But take heart or be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He's overcome it on your behalf. Man, there's nothing that can penetrate that peace if it's found in Jesus. Nothing. Nothing you experience. Man, I know people in here and I know what some of you are going through, and I know what some of you have been through, and it's been amazing to see the peace that's been on you, even through the whole thing. And I know it's attributed to one thing. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Man, I know there's some of you in here, you've probably struggled with peace. Man, let tonight be the last night you struggle with it. You know the answer. It's the cheat code. The cheat code is the best. I used to play a video game when I was in high school. Could never beat the game. I had 3 lives. Put the cheat code in, I got 30 lives. Guess what I can do? I can beat the game. We have a cheat code. You can't do it on your own. It's impossible. You need a cheat code. The cheat code is peace. He's our peace. Pursue him. It's found in him. The world has tried to tell you that you have to have all this stuff lined up. You have to gain this wealth. Your family has to be this size. You have to have this kind of fence. It's told you all these things you have to have to be this perfect family, and you think you'll have peace when you have it. Newsflash, you won't have peace. It's only found in Jesus. It's only found in him. That stuff will not equate to peace in your life. Only Jesus will. That's it.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.